Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
He is currently the head football coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines and a former player. His dad and brother are also former players and coaches, but there is more to them than just football. It's time to talk about attacking life each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. This is Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast with Jim Harbaugh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast. Ira Weintraub here, along with coaches Jim and Jack Harbaugh. Our director of recruiting, Matt Dudek, is here. Our producer, McKenzie, is here as well. And this episode, this Black Friday week, Thanksgiving week episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, is brought to you by Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store, and your must-stop shop for Black Friday. We're going to talk some Michigan football as the Wolverines beat Indiana, and of course have Ohio State coming up next. This week's guest, Michigan women's basketball coach Kim Barnes-Errico, and as always, we wrap things up with Jack Talk here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast. A reminder, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen via the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com, and please follow us and contact us on Twitter at AED Podcast or using hashtag Jack Talk. And coach, before we get into talking about the Indiana game and getting ready for the Ohio State game, so, Coach, maybe the most impressive thing I saw this week from Michigan football didn't happen on the field. It was when it was announced that Lewis Grodman became the fourth player during your time in Ann Arbor to be accepted into the Michigan Medical School. That is an amazing accomplishment.
Great accomplishment, so very proud of Lewis Grodman. We've been calling him Dr. Grodman now for a few years, and his dad's a doctor, but all the guys. Brian Cleary, who was a quarterback here my first year, and Danny Leesman, the linebacker, and Alvin Pearson, the safety, and now Lewis Grodman will be going, is accepted to Michigan. If he's smart, he'll accept that,
that quickly.
Yes, it's awesome.
I mean, we talk a lot about the football and obviously the accomplishments that happen on a football field, but you have to be as gratified when your guys go on to whether it's medical school or law school, or maybe a player comes back, you know, down the road and they're now, you know, an investment banker doing all these great things.
That's a Marine. How about we just
that's
had
right,
Noah Furbush.
Yep. Big haircut for him. That was drastic.
Yeah. It's really neat. The thing you like to see the most is that they're thinking about what they want to do, what they would love to do for a job, because I think you're going to be a lot better at what you do if you're doing something that you love, and then trying to fit that together with what they're studying to help them be able to get the kind of job that they want and they're going to love to do. And the guys that that find their passion for what they want to do once they're out of college. And so while they're in college, they're pursuing that dream, and they're pursuing it in whatever field. So whether it's doctor, lawyer, baker, is there a saying there? Doctor, lawyer, baker. So whatever they're pursuing, you're hoping that it's their passion and what they love.
All right, so let's get into the football side of things. You guys went down to Indiana, and it's got to make you quite happy to know that your team is playing its best football at the right time of year.
Playing really good football. And the other thing is that our guys, as many great plays as they made in the ball game and that they've made the last several weeks, they're talking about there's more. There's more there. They feel like we can play even better on offense, better on defense, better in the kicking game, and that's exciting. They're hungry for improvement and hungry to get better and better.
Talk to us about what you saw when you went back and you guys watched the tape again, in particular Shade and Nico, but in general, just that passing game was just phenomenal.
It really was. So many things. First, the thing that jumped out was the first drive of the game, down 7-0. Offense gets the ball, 25-yard line, and started out struggling at first and second down, and then third down, Shea makes an incredible play where he scrambles, throws it off balance over a defender to hit Hassan Haskins, and then Hassan gets the ball across the yard to gain line. And then Shea and the receivers came up with four more great throws and catches, and then we were in the end zone. Donovan, throughout the game, he's really catching the ball great. diving for balls. The contested touchdown that he made, falling backwards. I mean, that's he's doing some really rare things. Great to see Ronnie Bell in the end zone and continue his growth. And Nico had a great game. He's been so good down the field, getting separation on the go routes and going up for the contested balls. And a lot of times he'll be behind defenders and they'll grab him. He's gotten, I don't know how many interference calls on the year. But also to see him make the growth of, you know, the short area quickness separation is defined by some of the in cuts that he was caught a deep end, and he caught a slant and took it for the touchdown. First time I remember him taking a catch and going and running a long way like that. But I think that's been a result of improvement. Tariq, good to see him getting the ball. And then the young guys, Mike Sanders still makes a great catch. Giles Jackson, really, really impressive. I mean, just his confidence and the way he's playing as a kick returner and also as a receiver and a runner. Good things happen when Giles Jackson gets the ball.
Giles could have had three really big plays, and they just made shoestring tackles on him. Yeah. Once on a reverse or a jet sweep type thing, and then once on a kickoff return where they just got.
How about the one where he was down? Like he was down on the ground and then popped back up and then ran for a touchdown.
The whistle never blew, right?
The whistle did never blow, and couldn't really tell. You know, after the play was going on, hey, maybe, and then Giles, no, I didn't go down. And then you look at the tape, he's fully down, you know, all parts of his body. But, you know, it's just, just a youngster that really has a lot of confidence and thinks he can make plays whenever he gets the ball, and he's been doing it. A couple things that, you know, Josh Gattis is, you know, he's the offensive coordinator and calls the plays, but I've never seen a better job of a coach coaching receivers than he's done this year. The improvement by all of our receivers in the areas that they needed to improve in, you know, say they were good in one area, but, you know, that's not enough. Now let's improve in another area and then another and another and another has been a joy to watch. Also, Ben McDaniels coaching Shea Patterson. Shea is dialed in as he can be as a quarterback. I mean, he really knows coverages and knows what to expect. He's playing ahead of the play, reading coverages. The ball's coming out on time, coming out accurate. He's playing with a lot of confidence. I mean, I think Ben's really giving him the answers to the test, you know, before the game. And Shea's just is going out there and playing great. And, you know, we're riding Shea Patterson right now, but you know, I think Ben McDaniels has done a terrific job.
Just a great point. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, what you've seen is how things are coming together with the play calling. They're giving us certain things on defense, certain coverages, or certain tips on where blitzes are coming, and then quarterback looking to the sideline and Josh calling the play to get you in the right play for that particular coverage or front, and then once the ball is snapped, being able to take it to the next step and deliver it to that play to that player, depending on the different coverage. You really see it coming together. And a lot of fans, I've been reading a little more now over the last few weeks than I was before, but talking about, well, they only ran the ball for 80, 90 yards, but they did throw it for 390 or and, you know, the running game, what's wrong with the running game? Well, if they're taking the run away from you, passing is what you should be doing. If they're taking the passing away from you, then running is what you should do. And my point is, with the play calling and the quarterback making the decisions he's making, we're doing and taking what they're giving us.
Couldn't have said that better.
And in plays that have runs and passes built in, you have both options available based on what the defense is doing. So it can skew technically your balance, but balance is defined differently now than it used to, because you're not calling just a straight run play or a straight pass play. There are combinations of both together, and you're not going to, you don't want to force it. You want to, as your dad just said, take what the defense gives you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think you're both saying saying the right thing, and you know, seen real development going on, and coach is doing a doing a heck of a job coaching guys and players, as I said earlier, hungry, you know, work on things that they want, you know, become a complete player, and you're seeing the growth. And also, I think, Josh, too, you know, beneficial to really now, you know, been called a full season. We're at the point we're at now, it's been a full season, but, you know, really understanding the personnel, yeah. Really understanding all, you know, the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers, the line, and you just get better and better at the game planning and the play calls.
And one other point is the offensive line. Noticed in watching the game, a lot of corner blitzes were coming that really isn't accounted for. And our alignment made adjustments and slid the defense to those people and picked up those that gave our quarterback that extra time to find those receivers that were open because of that corner leaving the secondary, leaving coverage. Some big plays resulted from that. Not only the corner blitzes, but also the nickel blitzes that they had where they were sending five and six people.
Yeah, there was a rare corner Sam blitz, you know, where they're coming from wide
on
both sides, you know, the nickel and the corner coming from opposite sides. You know, there was a good amount of that, and we hit them in the teeth, you know, on some of those blitzes. And you know, it's something you talk to an offense about, is, you know, and embrace that fact, you know, when they blitz, that you're going to have a chance to hurt them back. Mm-hmm. And you know, make a big play, and now our guys are doing it, and they're seeing it, and their confidence has grown a lot.
And, of course, on the other side of the ball, we can maybe run out of superlatives at some point to talk about what Don Brown does. The team gives up a couple of early touchdowns, but a team that scores over 32 points per game, held to 14. The amount of explosive plays that the defense is not giving up, they've limited that just a terrific amount over these last however many weeks it's been. That defense just seems to adjust, make little changes, subtle tweaks, and they're, just like the offense, ascending and playing their best ball at the right time.
Yeah, I've never been around a better coach than Don Brown. Game planning during the week, in-game adjustments, tremendous amount of volume that he gets coached and teached in different fronts and coverages. Added multiple to this season as the season has gone on. Just been great. And you're right. I mean, Indiana, they had the number one passing attack in the Big Ten going into our game. I haven't checked to see where they're at now, but, you know, no doubt about it, that was a great challenge for us. And, you know, we acquitted ourselves well.
Just one other quick thing. Last week, a discussion that you and Don were having about the fact that against Penn State, Indiana was able to complete a lot of passes underneath. The pass rushes got spread out a little bit, and Don talked about the things that he had planned with some twists in there.
Yeah.
And that was so evident with the twists, taking away those windows for those short underneath passing, but escape routes for the quarterback as well because of that. And I thought, just exactly as he explained it to us, what his plan was, it was executed perfectly.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. I mean, you have time. Input from time to time as a head coach. I could, you know, you watch Peyton Ramsey play. I mean, I really think he's a heck of a quarterback, and, you know, he gets a window to throw it in. He's going to make that throw. And if there's nobody open and there's a window, then he's going to use that window or that lane to run in. And that challenge last week is going to be the same this week, you know, against Justin Fields. He's that kind of quarterback that, throwing lanes and open receivers, he can hit them, and he's got the ability to escape the pocket as well. So you got to try to limit those lanes for throwing the ball and for running out of the pocket. And our front did a good job, as Dad said. I mean, there was a lot of variety to the fronts. There's a lot of different blitz packages and coverages to try to confuse, and then and Josh Uche, you know, there's the guy that you know, had another great game, sack, fumble, and a fumble recovery
on the same play, right?
All on the same play.
Checking a lot of boxes. Does he get a sticker for every one of those individually?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that'll fill up a helmet pretty fast.
Yeah.
At one play.
So the clock hits triple zeros. You guys win the game. And, of course, you do have to make the trip back to Ann Arbor. I know last week you talked about, you said about 6 hours after the Michigan State game, you were on to the Indiana game. Is it a quicker turnaround when you know you have Ohio State next year? You get to enjoy it a little bit before you start focusing on the next game.
Yeah, it's a happy flight. But you can even tell in the locker room at Indiana there, the guys had there was more excitement about the game coming up than the game they had just played. And it was a hard-fought game, and they were tired. Nobody goes to sleep faster than Giles Jackson. You know, he's on asleep on the bus ride and the plane ride home. It's pretty neat to see. But, yeah, guys, then you see it in Schembechler Hall this week, you know, as the week has started, that, you know, there's a great energy and a bounce in the step and confidence and excitement about the game Saturday.
What are your thoughts on Ohio State as you've watched them on tape?
Really good. Really good. I mean, they got the top defense. If not the top defense, then, well, the top defense in the country. You know, really good. Really great on offense. Great great quarterback. Great playmakers. You know, they've played winning football week after week and doing a heck of a job there. So now they'll be tough to beat. But then I would say we're going to be tough to beat. And then the matchup on Saturday will be great competition. As I said, we're looking very much forward to it.
Kind of like a school year, and it goes true for both teams. Your toughest test should be your last one, right? And here you are at the last one. Should be your toughest test of the season.
I think, yeah, there's no question about it. They're the best team we've played this season, and also we're playing our best football. So let's have at it.
What I would like to see this weekend, 12 o'clock kickoff.
Yep.
Is that what time it's kicking off? I'd love to see that student section totally filled on the corner from top to bottom, and I'd like to see them come with the same attitude that they bring in the third quarter and the fourth quarter with all the different things going on in there, and just light that stadium up. Because I think if that student body gets in that frame of mind, the rest of those 112,000 or there are going to feel that same thing. That could be a tremendous advantage for our players to feed on for that particular game. We need a total the team come Saturday. Bring your game.
Looking forward to the game on Saturday. Also looking forward to our guest coming up next, Kim Barnes-Arico, Michigan women's basketball coach, joining us here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Hello, this is Jim Harbaugh from the AED podcast, telling you that when my wife shops for jewelry, she goes to Lewis Jewelers.
Lewis Jewelers, been in Ann Arbor 3 generations. David, the owner, great guy. Designer watches, designer jewelry, like tag watches. Did you ever get a watch, Coach?
No, my wife doesn't shop for me at Lewis Jewelers. She shops for herself.
And I would imagine because it is no commission, very informal. You walk in, they're not tuxedos and ball gowns where they're trying to jam something down your throat. Sarah gets to walk in, look around. They help her. They're very accommodating. Keith and Lucinda, awesome there. But maybe next time we can give Sarah a nudge and maybe you can get yourself a new watch.
She does like to shop. Lewis Jewelers is great for Sarah. And they're a proud sponsor of the AED podcast.
Absolutely, and they're very big supporters of Michigan. You know who else shops at Lewis Jewelers? Your assistant, Deanna. She loves going over there, very knowledgeable. She's got a beautiful pair of earrings a couple weeks ago.
You know who else shops at Lewis Jewelers?
Who's that?
Matt Dudek.
Absolutely.
Bought his wife, Lindsay, a very nice pair of earrings. $5,000 is the rumor. And also Ira has his wedding ring from Lewis Jewelers.
Yeah, my wedding ring, my wife's wedding band, her engagement ring. My wife has a Movado watch that we got at Lewis Jewelers. They're online at lewisjewelers.com.
Lewis Jewelers, proud supporter of the AED podcast and Michigan Athletics. Go Blue!
You're listening to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
It's now time for our guest segment here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. We bring in the in her eighth season now as the head coach of the Michigan women's basketball team, Kim Barnes-Arico. Kim, terrific to see you. How are you?
Hi, Ira. It's great to see you as well.
It's great to have you here on the show. And, Coach, she is a terrific women's basketball coach, as you very well know. And more importantly, her team, they are as good as it comes when it comes to involving the community and kids and getting them involved in their program. And I speak on that firsthand. My daughter, who's it's her favorite team, so
but she's a fan. She wasn't yet.
She is a fan, and they are terrific when it comes to getting everybody involved in the. And it, they had a great crowd at the game. They came a little short, but a great crowd at the game the other day.
I know. I've watched Kim coach, and I really enjoyed listening to you on the radio. Sometimes I heard you.
Tuesday mornings, 8 o'clock. Yeah.
And I learn a lot. I mean, you really are a good. Explainer of basketball.
But weren't you a basketball player? I mean, isn't that your game?
I was, but I was a basketball player. Well documented. Pretty good, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Kim, did you
say really,
from
really
you,
good.
From you, I think.
Pretty good sounds like
Kim,
pretty.
You've got to point out here, as you mentioned, what a good basketball player. He was giving me eye contact, which
Dad,
means you need to jump in.
Dad, please help me, or don't say that I wasn't.
Well, I say pretty good. Sometimes when people say pretty good, they really mean pretty bad, but I was really good.
That's what I heard.
I love basketball. I love basketball because it had more games, you know. When I was in high school playing basketball, I loved basketball more than football. And then as I kept playing football, college, and then football, I came to love football even more because of the struggle of it. But the basketball, the games, and the...
The ability to bounce back. And I think, you know, Ira mentioned we lost a tough one on Saturday, but we have 2 days, and then we got a chance for another game and a chance
to play more games.
Back.
You're playing like double or triple more games.
Golly, if you lose a game and you have to wait an entire week like that, I mean, we don't sleep as it is. I wouldn't be able to wait to play that next game. At least we have a chance to get back at it and play again. And I do think it's a quicker, you know, you can bounce back a lot faster.
There's only one good mouthwash for the bad taste in your mouth after a loss.
That's right.
How does the preparation go? You say a game ends at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night and you're playing Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Kind of give us an idea what the preparation with the team and your staff would be like.
Yeah, and we have that too, and that's probably the other part that makes it really hard. If you play in a tournament or if you play in a quick game where you have you play a game and then you have a quick bounce back where you have to play 2 days later, you have to give your kids an opportunity to rest. So especially if you're on the road and that travel factor too. So we try to have a day off after. Sometimes you're not able to because of the turnaround, but we'll come in and we'll watch film and we'll at least get some treatment and rehab and try to maybe get some shots up, get their legs moving, get that lactic acid out a little bit, and kind of a walkthrough the next day, and then start, you know, preparing for the opponent. A lot of times it's hard. The thing I like when you have a few more days in between is that you have a chance to work on you. Mm-hmm. So if there's something from, you know, our Notre Dame game that we really struggled with, it's nice when we have that extra day that we can come back in and say, okay, we really need to work on this, and this needs to be a point of emphasis for us. With a quick turnaround, sometimes you just have to start working on your opponent, which isn't as good. So, I mean, there's pluses and negatives. Quick turnaround, too, allows you to get right back at it and get that taste out of your mouth.
Say you have a quick turnaround. Do you have a chance to do some preparation for that?
Prior to,
you got a game here. Can you look
forward?
Do
you guys do that? I mean, my staff does. I know. I have a really, really hard time doing that. Yeah. That's why you have great staff, and that's why you have a lot of people on your staff that have that next scout ready to go and kind of give me that stuff ahead of time. So if somebody does a different kind of defense that I know we have to at least look at before we play the next day, you know, we'll try to put that in practice. But as a coach, and I know, I don't know how you are, but I can't look to the next one without – like finishing the one that we have first. I think that's the most important one. Yeah. Same way?
No question. You stumble over the first one if you get too far ahead of yourself.
Exactly.
That's one of the unique things about like NCAA tournament time is you go into a pod with four teams. You're one of the teams. You, of course, scout the team you're playing immediately.
Yes.
But then you also have your two other of your assistant coaches scout the other two teams, and you want to know nothing about it until after you actually win the first game.
But they have to be good. When your assistant coaches are with you for a period of time and they know you and they know your style and they kind of know that about you, maybe they can get with the other one and say, hey, put this on your list of practice drills that you want coach to make sure she can get through, or somehow get it to me without waiting till the last minute, you know, just so I'm kind of aware. Because sometimes it's true. If you're playing against two completely different styles, ooh, that's a tough one, and the turnaround's got to be like this. And with inexperienced teams, you know, it's a little bit tougher. As your kids get older and more experienced, they can pick things up a lot quicker. And I'm sure you see that with your squad now, too. Maybe they pick things up a lot faster than when they were freshmen and sophomores.
Talking to Kim Barnes-Errico here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. As I mentioned, in her eighth season as the head coach here at the University of Michigan. Let's go back to that time period. We like to talk about that with the coach that we bring on here. When you get that call from U of M, you're an East Coast lady, you're at St. John's, you've done some great things at St. John's, and Michigan calls, and Michigan doesn't have this great women's basketball tradition that you're now building up. What was it like when you got that call?
Oh, my mom cried. Can you imagine? My mom. Yeah. My mom cried. And I met her for lunch. She lived in New York at the time. I lived in New Jersey. I worked in New York. She said, I know something's wrong because you've been here 10 years and it's the first time you called and asked me to meet you for lunch. And my parents never missed a game. My brothers were able to come to all the games. But she cried, not for me. You're taking my three grandbabies away from me. You know, I have an opportunity to see them whenever I want. I'm with you every weekend. I spend, you know, a ton of time. I never miss a game. But my mom didn't understand. She didn't understand the power of the Block M. She didn't understand the University of Michigan. She didn't really understand the opportunity to work at one of the greatest universities in the world. And for me, it was a life-changing decision because I had lived on the East Coast for 40 years. And I had raised my children there. I had grown up there. My husband was a college football player, a college football coach. He played at Lehigh, and his whole family was there. So it was a big decision. But for me, it kind of was a no-brainer. I mean, you know, Michigan, when you think of the University of Michigan, you do think of tradition, and you think of the Block M and the power of the Block M and football. And I, you know, hoped that one day when you think of the University of Michigan, you could put women's basketball into that. And I believed that, you know, maybe I could make a difference with that. And for me, I was willing to, you know, move my family halfway across the country, and my husband was in, and my children. I mean, it was tough, but, you know, those are the decisions you make, and you know, what a great opportunity, what an incredible opportunity to work at this university.
The old time coach there at St. John's,
Luke Onoseka. He would come to our games all the time, and I got to know him a little bit. He still comes around. He's in his 90s now, and he still comes around. He's a legend. And you know, I grew up in that time of Chris Mullin and the Big East of, you know, like Patrick Ewing and Georgetown and Syracuse and, you know, Villanova and all those great basketball days. So that was the league back in the day. And when I first got to St. John's, I mean, I had the opportunity, you know, you have UConn, Notre Dame, Rutgers, three Hall of Fame coaches you're going against every night. So it was a great league at that time.
The thing I loved about Lou was his sweater.
Yep.
Didn't he have some great sweaters?
He had some amazing sweaters, yeah, and they have such a great men's basketball tradition for such a long time.
Do they play on campus, or do they play in Madison?
They play at the Garden, and we had an opportunity to play at the Garden a bunch, too, which is pretty neat. They play on campus, but the majority of their games are at the Garden, which is pretty neat. But a completely different college experience than being here in Ann Arbor, yeah, for sure.
Now, when you were there, the Big East was a little bit different than what the Big East is now. But, Coach, she was able to do something when she was at St. John's that not a lot of people do. When she was at St. John's, she coached the Red Storm to a win at UConn, which snapped UConn's 99-game home court winning streak in 2012.
Wow.
That must have been quite the afternoon or evening.
Yeah, that was pretty special. And for me, you know, and Gino denies ever saying any of the things that he's ever said to me in my life. But when I first got to St. John's, you know, he and a number of people would, you know, why would you take that job? It's such a tough job. It's not an easy recruit. It's a tough job. Like, a lot of people had said that to me, but at that time, for me, it was an opportunity. And through the years, we were accustomed to going there and getting our butt kicked, and, you know, that their fans love me, and their ushers love me, and security love me. Yeah, because I come in, and you beat me by 60, and I'm very nice to you, and you walk me to my car, and all is great. But actually, you know, a number of those people told me after we won that game, when they were walking me to my car, they said, no, your kids always have come in here and have never been afraid to play here. And through the years, we had chipped away. And my last year there, yeah, we went in, it was 99 in a row. They had won at home, and we were able to snap that. And you know, he wants to get back on his schedule. I said, give it a little bit of time. Give it a little bit of time.
I never met him or don't know, but I don't like him. And, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that probably say that about me. You
know, I'm sure there are.
You have a lot of friends. We've already established that.
Well, first of all, I've already seen it. I've seen it written many times. If people speak about him, who've never met me or don't know me, that don't like me. But
he kind
of,
yeah. You know, I go back and forth a lot because, you know, here's another story. He's tough and he says what's on the top of his mind and he doesn't hold anything back. But he's a competitor and he's a winner. And what he's been able to do and the consistency he's been able to keep at that level is truly incredible. And, you know, sometimes when I would be like, God, Lee, he's so arrogant, I can't deal with him. Then he would do something to surprise me. For example, you know, I remember at the end of that game and I was just going through the handshake line really quick and I was trying to keep my composure and not be excited and be professional. Good game, coach, good game. And it went right to ESPN and I just couldn't wait to get in the locker room to spend some time with our players. And, you know, I got back and we had to drive back from Connecticut to New York that night. And midway through the drive, my phone rang and it was him.
Oh.
And he just said, hey, coach, you know, I just want you to know, like, I'm really proud of you. I watched you grow up in our league, and you did a hell of a job tonight.
That's classy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know somebody I do like is Tara Vanderveer.
I know. She's your favorite. You've already told me that. I know. She's a superstar, though.
Yeah, I saw her beat UConn.
Yet she is going to have a great year. She's done it. They have a tremendous, tremendous recruiting class. I don't know if you still get to follow them. You know she's a big fan of yours. I think you like her because she likes you.
You're probably right about that. Generally speaking, that is always that's one of my traits.
Yeah. Coach, I just want to say one large win for you on that one.
That's a fact.
Yes.
That's a fact.
No, I bumped into her shortly after you were hired. We were out together recruiting.
I think you're as tremendous as she is, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Really do.
But she came
How's
up
she
to
doing?
Me.
I haven't talked to her
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, so she came right up to me.
I can't find my 650 number. Dad, I didn't leave the phone at your house.
Come on,
it's
Dad.
It's been gone 10 days.
Come on.
No, it's been gone
longer than 10 days. Yeah.
It's been almost three and a half weeks.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Well, your mother is pleased to know that it's a loss of phone and not that you're not returning her calls.
I've gotten that from a few people that have.
Not many.
I thought you didn't have any friends.
Just family.
Not many, but a few people have said, you know, I thought I wasn't returning their calls. So anybody out there that has called my 650 number or texted me at 650.
Or if they call 650 and it rings, find it.
Find it back. Yeah, Sue's got that phone. That'd be good.
Yeah. Is Tara not from Indiana? Did she not coach in Indiana? Is she not in the Hall of Fame at Indiana?
Is it Ohio State?
I think she went to Indiana, but coached at
Ohio State.
She was the head coach at Ohio State.
I'm pretty sure it's Ohio State.
I think she is in the Indiana Hall
of Fame.
The University Hall of Fame.
Wow. I know she was at Ohio State, but she came running up to me.
She's from the East Coast.
Right after you were hired, and she said, you guys got a winner. And she said, I'm not talking about 5 years. I'm talking about now. That's what she said to me. And I remember that from when you were hired. I'm talking about now. And she's been incredible. And she got one of the best recruiting classes in the country right now. She's going to have a sensational year.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an announcement.
So she is from Massachusetts.
Which I said.
She played at Indiana from 1970 to 1975. And then coached at Ohio State before going to Stanford.
That's impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. Very impressed with that.
Wow.
Impressed with me.
And you've been – I thought we were hired close – I knew you were here before me, but this is your eighth season.
Yeah.
So you were here 3 years before me.
I was here a few years before you. But I followed you. And so excited that you're here. And you guys are doing an unbelievable job. Oh, my gosh. Congratulations on the last few weeks.
Thanks. The team's playing really well, playing with a lot of confidence, and they're just – been fun watching them get better and better, and our coaching staff's doing an amazing job of developing our players. And it's a team, you know this, like, they're fun to coach. You like being around them.
That's nice.
Every single day.
That's
every meeting that you're in or on the practice field, you know, they haven't – it's been a while, but I mean years, but I mean nothing happens off the field.
Yeah, no drama, no extra stuff.
They're not giving anybody grief up on campus.
That's nice.
They're not giving coaches any grief. They're not pulling any shenanigans anywhere or getting into kerfuffles on campus. It's you know, it's a really straight-laced team like that, and they – They're good to be around. They're bouncing their step, and this week we got a big bounce on our step. Everything around here this week, a lot of.
But coming off the last couple of weeks, it gives you something to bounce around about.
Yeah, guys definitely have a bounce on their step. A lot of excitement.
Did you feel that way early on, or did things have to go? You know, as a coach, you feel like you got a great group, but it was a tough start for the outside people. But did you feel for yourself like, hey, we're going to get it going, we're going to be able to get this together, these guys are on it?
Yeah, and you see it in practice.
Yeah.
You know, where the improvements are being made, and you know, getting everybody. You know, everybody playing together, you know, and just hungry to be coached. I think that's the thing I really like about this team the most. I mean, there was a lot of hard coaching going on, spring ball, training camp, beginning of the season, and they ate it up every day. Coaches have been terrific. I mean, they've been the same coach every single day. I mean, and the players have been the same every day. I mean, excited and chomping at the bit to try to improve and get better. But, yeah, did I see it early? Yes, because I saw the effort.
Yeah.
And when you got the effort, you know you can get everything else.
Right, right. That's fun. Well, yeah. I'm excited for this week. We actually have, and I know she won't be able to see you because you'll be a little bit busy, but the all-time leading scorer in program history, Caitlin Flaherty, men or women, she set that record a couple years ago. She's coming back to campus for the first time since she graduated this weekend. So she's excited to go to the game, and we're going to get to spend a little bit of time with her.
That's
awesome.
It's one of the things you don't get asked that much about or talk that much about, but it's one of my favorite things about coaching. I know it's my dad's, and I bet it's yours, Kim, is just like this week, people talk about senior day and, you know, guys you've been with for 4 or 5 years. But I never feel like it's ending, because one of the best parts of the job is, like, watching the guys go on to the next chapter of their lives and eventually a job or a family. You know,
yeah. and coming back.
I don't feel like it ends. I feel like this trusting, lasting friendship just continues and continues.
But their appreciation sometimes grows the older they get, and they realize all the lessons that you were trying to teach them when they were here that they didn't really realize. Then they have a great appreciation. Man, thanks, Coach, for making me be on time. I really value that. Or thank you for making me work so hard. I never understood what you were trying to get at with this. It's nice to hear those things when they come back. You wish sometimes they got it a little bit more when they were here.
You do, but I mean, that is definitely a very satisfying text.
Yes.
Call when you get that, you know, when they say something that you said, while they were playing, and hey, I did this with my team today, you know, my group of that I have in my job or something. I like getting that way. It's like, man, I never knew you were even listening. You know? But that's the thing, you know, they are.
Yes.
You know, they are.
Yes.
When they remember it 5-10 years down the road, and it encourages you when you're talking to your present team that,
yes,
okay, they may be acting like they're not listening, but they are listening.
And it does make a difference.
And it makes a big difference.
It'll click at some point.
I don't have the lady's name, but she works with the NC, or works with the Big Ten.
Diane.
Oh, Diane Dietz.
Diane Dietz. I met her. We had an event over at Royal Oak, and she was on a panel with – we were together. And so impressed with her.
She's unbelievable.
What
an incredible.
Unbelievable and what she – the job she's doing in the Big Ten. But she told at the meeting – it just blew my mind – that she had 49 points in a game without the three-point shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
She told me she wanted to play a little one-on-one against Coach. She heard he was a basketball player.
You may not want to do
I
that
like
too.
Her a lot.
No, she's awesome. She
I know. First time
dinner.
I met her was like 5 years ago. I think I went and told Jim Hackett, and then we got to hire her.
Yeah.
We need her here.
Yes, and I wish that we would. I mean, she's really smart. She gets it. She's a Michigan girl. She works for the Big Ten, but she lives in Royal Oak. She kind of goes
gotta
back.
Got to be a job here that we would benefit from her doing.
We
she's
just
tremendous.
Went to she just was inducted into the Michigan Hall of Fame.
And, one of the games this year in football, right?
God, I missed that. I can't believe I missed that.
I believe she was.
Yeah. They and they honored her in the football game. Yeah, and she did. It was in Detroit, and we went to the Iowa game. Yeah, we got to go to the induction ceremony. She's impressive. She is really
Loves Michigan.
Loves Michigan.
Loves Michigan.
Loves Michigan. Doesn't miss many of your games.
But how many shots do you have to get up to get 49 points without the 3 points?
At least 25. At least 24 and one.
So you got the free throw.
At least 24 and one free throw.
I don't think she missed much from the free throw line, and I think she really was efficient. I mean, she could really, really
game,
shoot the basketball.
What kind of player were you?
I was thinking, when we were coming here today, I was like, okay, Jawan, if the three of us had a free throw shooting contest, what do we think? Who'd you put your money on?
I'm putting it on you. The fact that you brought it up.
I'm just saying, because I know you have game, because you always tell me that you were pretty good back.
Where he was,
I was about a 78. I was about a 78.6.
About.
Yeah, the decimal point.
From how many years ago?
Let me tell you, there's no about it. If he's 78, it's 78.
Yeah.
19.8 points a game. No 3 points.
19.8. You played in California in high school?
Yeah, Palo Alto High School. Third team All Bay Area.
Wow.
And,
does he know all of his statistics?
He's looking for me to give you some. There's no way I can help you.
But right now, I'd say I'd be lucky to hit 6 out of 10.
Yeah, but that's still pretty good. You probably don't touch a basketball that much anymore.
Just my kids.
Yeah, I heard Addie and Jack are playing.
Yep, Addie's playing. Jack's playing.
I heard Jack's got a little left-right.
He can really handle the ball. He likes to come down and, wave people and move people.
I heard he shoots it a lot. He likes to shoot
the hand up. Yeah, we've trained him on that. We trained him on that. We can pick up the defense later, in his age. But
I know we've told the story, but I got to tell you this story. We're watching a game this year at one of the schools, and it's like a Saturday morning about 9 o'clock, and Jim's there, and the parents are all around us, and Jim's coaching them, use the backboard. He wants to just use this to rim. Everything's on the rim, and he's going to him, the square. Put it in the square.
The square.
And off the square a couple times, a little hard. Not so hard off the square.
Just touch.
So
just
he's
touch.
Going on and on with him. So finally, the game is over, and Jack had maybe 1 out of 8. He put 1 of 8 shots up, made one, and he came over.
There's a lot of games where he's made a lot, but this one he was just...
So the parents were coming out of the stands, we're walking out of the stands, the old stands, and Jack walks up to Dad, you push me too hard. You're pushing me too hard.
You're the king pusher.
You're the king pusher.
That's what he said.
And the parents are going, this is a coach in Michigan. His kid has turned on him.
It kind of stuns you at first. You're kind of hearing this from your kid, quit pushing me. You're the king pusher. My first reaction was just kind of peek around and see.
How are you going to respond?
Yeah,
right?
People are going to look at us like, you're darn right I am. I'm your father. I'm your dad. That's my job. Now use the backboard. Get the ball on the backboard.
As we left the gym by ourselves.
I think there's some horrified parents.
No, that's nice. That's nice you get an opportunity to watch him play.
This guy right here, Jack Harbaugh, is...
He doesn't miss?
He doesn't miss. He doesn't miss his football games. He doesn't miss his baseball practices.
That's
he
nice.
Doesn't miss
you
his
were talking
basketball.
About, talking about your parents, and moving
They play
away.
For hours. Yeah. They played for
my
hours.
My heart was warm.
Yes, yes.
And knowing exactly how they feel.
So it's nice for you now. You get the opportunity to do that with the kids.
Yeah, we get a chance to watch and come down the hill. We're right next door to them. So,
yeah, and play all the time.
You get a chance.
Have a catch and
we
stuff.
We have our little ball
day, hours a day. Hours a day that my dad plays with Jack. They play baseball. They play soccer in the basement. They play football. They play the kid catches. I mean, all he wants to do is catch. Now, Dad's got a great game. He sits on the couch, watches TV, and throws it to him. And then he's got a game where Jack's got to dive and get the ball onto a pillow. And my dad kind of keeps him from it. But he's able to watch TV. But he
doesn't move around much, me.
You can't. I mean, he'll wear out. He would wear out an Olympic decathlete. That's how much
nice.
he's playing every day. But the times I get with him, it's like, how'd it go? And he said, well, we won today. the Yankees beat the Indians. Yeah. He plays for both teams.
Yeah.
And Papa pitches to him and then goes and gets the ball.
Nice.
Jack doesn't do a lot of pitching or fielding.
Chasing balls.
Just you know, hits.
No,
it's hits.
I chase.
Yeah.
He hits.
And he's out there and he's walking it off. You know, he's got the feet and he's got a little plant out there, a little,
nice.
Little stake to, for his farthest hit. And one day I was picking him up from somewhere and he goes, "Hey, tell me about the Indians Yankees game," and he's always the Yankees. And
yes, and, I like this boy. Derek Jeter, is he Derek Jeter?
Aaron Judge. He's an Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge.
Fan.
Okay, yeah, Derek Jeter.
So he tells me the whole thing. And I finally said, "I go, Jack, you like playing with Papa, huh?" He goes, "Yeah. Papa's a great guy, and he's hilarious and funny too."
That's nice.
Doesn't get too much better than that, does it?
Yeah, better than that.
Bob was a great guy, and he's hilarious and funny.
That's good. Good stuff.
That's nice.
We are so excited to be welcoming Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson to the Podcast One family. Listen as Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet, pours his soul into conversations with fascinating minds, celebrities, and athletes. Along with his cosmic millennial sidekick and former NFLer Eben Britton, Kid Dynamite dives deep into the issues impacting us all today. This podcast will change the way you see the world. Don't miss Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
And now, back to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
A few more minutes with Kim Barnes-Errico, the Michigan women's basketball coach, joining us here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. We mentioned we should talk a little about your
team. We got to get Addie signed up for your camp.
Yeah, she would love it.
When are the signups?
She would definitely love it. You got to let her do the overnight.
Sure, why not? She would love it. She would love it.
Is she 10 or 11?
11.
11. Perfect. She's perfect age.
Yeah. June, or July? Or
well, our
August?
Overnight is August, and we have one in June. She might be too young for that. But the next couple of years, 13, 14, it's for the older kids. And then we have our overnight in August. We have a day camp. She's probably too old for it now, for little kids.
Great. Well, I'm gonna bring her some games, too.
Yeah, you got to get her over to some games. You got to get her and her team. Have her team come over to a game. They would like that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
The Mustangs.
That's her squad.
St. Francis Mustangs. Yep.
Hopefully we'll get a win this year. Tell you what, we'll say that. If you get a win, we'll take the whole
celebrate
team.
Celebrate at a Michigan women's game.
That'll
be
That's
fun.
That's a good
it's
idea.
Good one. It's really good.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Can you free me up a day, Matt, where
we can figure it
go
out.
Go to a basketball game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. There's some good Sunday games coming up in the second half of the calendar when football's over.
Yeah.
And it's not in like the recruiting window and whatnot.
Is there?
Yeah,
so after December 14th?
After December 14th.
Yep. Jump in.
I'll be there.
We're talking about tell us about your family.
I have three children. My boy's a senior in high school.
Oh.
Yep.
Where's he go to high school?
Celine. Yep.
Hornets?
So he's a Hornet. Yeah.
And
hooper?
Baller.
Yeah.
He's a hooper. He's a little undersized. He's probably going to play in college. We're just not sure yet where. So he's going through the application process and doing all that right now. Oh. Yep. Good boy. A student. Has a girlfriend for the first time.
Ah, good. Good.
Good.
Your face may be saying it all right now.
I was really kind of against that for a long period of time, but then I was like, oh, man, he's going to college. I guess maybe I should let that happen before he goes to college, you know. So, but she's nice. I had a couple of requirements. One, I said, how tall is she? 6'1". That was a check. She's a hooper.
Ooh.
Nice.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Good student. So applying to Michigan. Great student. Over 1,400 SATs.
Oh, my goodness.
Another check, check, yeah. check. And I thought the third was it
had tall was important
tall
for
was
what
one.
Reason? For what reason?
I'm a basketball coach.
So you know? How about the other two?
So I have two little girls. One's, well, not little. One's an eighth grader. She's a baller. She's a basketball player, lacrosse player. And then my youngest is in sixth grade. She's a 11? She's 11. And she's a gymnast, which is something completely different. She goes to gymnastics for 5 hours, goes straight from when she gets home from school and gets home at 9 o'clock at night. That's a different lifestyle, and she's had a ton of injuries already, and it's kind of a unique
sport.
Did
they do multiple events?
Yes, four events.
They do all
yeah,
four
they
events.
Do
they don't specialize in any one until after – after they kind of experience all of them.
Did she go to the gym right there in Saline there?
Yes.
My younger daughter goes there, too.
Oh, really?
They do a great job.
Yeah.
She is not a baller. I love her, but she just goes there and has fun.
She has fun. Yeah, that's good.
Heritage, is that the – we've been there a couple times right there.
Gym America?
Yeah, Gym America is the gym in Saline.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about the facility here. No, the University
Heritage School, are you talking about?
Yeah, the school.
Yeah, that's the
Oh, they play basketball. Yours plays basketball there?
Yeah, we've had some games there.
Nice.
Jack's had a few games there.
Oh, at Heritage.
Yeah.
Nice.
This might have been where we had the...
we had an incident.
We had an incident? What do you mean you had an incident?
That's the pusher.
Well, when the pusher incident, when the Jack blew up on Jim.
Oh, okay.
For pushing him.
Oh, the pushing. Oh, that was at Heritage.
That was at Heritage. I thought you were talking about the one... where I almost got thrown out of the gym by the referee.
No, that wasn't the time. What he did there was he was coaching, and you're getting a little critical, and the parent whispered to me, "That's your father. I mean, that's your son, right? I'm the father." She says, "We can't do that. The parents are not allowed to coach their children here. You might want to say that to him." I said, "Jim, you're not allowed to coach." And Jim said to me, "How many warnings do you get?" So I turned to the mother. I said, "Ma'am, how many warnings do you get?"
You did not.
I did. And she said, "Two." I said, "Two." She said, "Well, I haven't been warned yet."
Well, the problem was I wasn't sitting in the stands. I was down on the floor because there was no room in the stands. So the official was not calling fouls on the opposing team. And I could tell. I mean, their coach was – I mean, he was enjoying it. He was like, you know, probably over there in the huddle telling him to do it. It looked like a strategy. And they were just – our guy, that was Jack's team, would go up for a shot, and they would foul him. And nothing was called. So I told our guy, foul him. And that's when the official –
Is that when the official left?
She got mad at me. I said, then call the fouls. Then call the fouls. She stormed off the court.
She left the court.
Oh, my gosh.
All I could see was on Twitter, Jim Harbaugh, official leaves court. I mean, I could just see it. I said, "Jim, you ought to go apologize."
I did. I went and apologized.
You did?
I did.
So we covered that one up.
I was going to ask you because, you know, it's funny. I have a young girl on my staff. Just recently hired, and she just finished her playing career, and we had a close game a couple weeks ago, and afterward we were in the locker room and she was all like sweating and stuff, and she came in, she goes, "Oh my gosh," she's like, "this coaching is way harder than being a player." And I said, "Girl, you know, no kidding."
I've seen you get after the officials.
Yeah, well, hold on. So then I said,
"Wreck your story there."
So then I said to her, I said, "Okay, you know, coaching is really hard." I said, "But the number one is being a parent."
Oh,
and sitting there as a parent, and that's what getting back to you, and watching those things as a parent, that's really hard. So you do have an appreciation for some of the kooky parents out there, that when you're going through this stuff and then being a coach. But when you're a player, you can go out there and just play.
Yes, right.
Just have fun. Just do what you love. So you're tough at your kids' games.
No, I really,
just those two.
You can't really say that. What have I ever done? I mean, that's really the only two times.
Well, they were back to back weeks.
I think for the most part,
you just watch.
Yeah, I just watch.
It's hard sometimes, though.
Yeah. Especially if your kid's not hustling. And,
well, that's the one thing. Effort.
That they're not giving it the effort.
Yeah, the effort.
That's upsetting.
And when you go to some of these games, I went yesterday. My little daughter had a game, and the coaches are screaming. Mm-hmm. Some parents are screaming. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Everyone is screaming at the kids. And maybe it's encouraging, but it just seems like sometimes they're so young. Just try to develop them. Why are you screaming?
Give them a few attaboys.
Yeah. Encouragement.
Encourage them.
Yeah. Or there was the one time Jack was playing soccer. You were at that game. Yeah. I had to go out in the field and get him. When he
wasn't playing hard enough.
Nah, he got mad at one of his teammates for not passing him the ball, and went up and said something to him and gave him a shove, and I had to go yank him off the field for that one.
So he's a competitor.
He is a competitor.
He is that.
He is that.
Yeah.
blessed. We're blessed. Who's got it better than us? Nobody.
We're lucky.
Kim, before we let you go, tell us a little about your team as you're about to embark on the final stretch of non-conference play. Big Ten play starts at the end of December.
Yeah, we're led by a sophomore named Naz Hillman. She's just unbelievable. She had a good gene pool, as you say. Her mom was a college basketball player at Vanderbilt. Her uncle played at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Her aunt played at Virginia. And her dad was a football player at Vanderbilt.
Wow.
And she's an unbelievable, unbelievable athlete. Won the gold with USA Basketball this summer. And it was our MVP as a freshman last year. And she kind of leads our team, averaging nearly a double-double, if not a double-double. We have two seniors that are off to a great start, and another sophomore from Carmel, Indiana, who's our point guard. We were talking about Indiana a little bit, just how they have tremendous high school basketball in the state of Indiana, and we have three Indiana kids, a Noblesville, a Carmel, and a Zionsville player in our program. But excited about the direction we're going, excited about our team, and looking forward for an opportunity to bounce back from last game.
How does that affect with the Olympic year coming up? How does that affect the college?
For us, we've been very fortunate because in basketball, the pool is so great. A lot of our Olympians are older. But I know for following our women's soccer program, for example, they have a Canadian on their team that is getting ready for the Olympics. I watched Oregon women play last night, and they have a German on their team that left to go to practice with their country to get ready. So they're missing games. So a lot of those players are missing their season games this year. Thank you so much for having me here today. It was so much
fun.
Thank
you.
And I'm on board this weekend. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go, boys. Let's go. Go Blue.
This is Jack Talk.
I want to listen. I want to be better. I want to be the best I can be.
Welcome to our team. The team.
Jack Talk.
As you get older, you get to be 78 years old. Here's what I find. Hair grows in places that it hadn't been before.
Welcome to hashtag Jack Talk.
It is now time for everybody's favorite segment of the week, Jack Talk, here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh podcast. Jack, what do you have for us this Thanksgiving week of the podcast?
Fantastic experience yesterday. 2:00, went over to the Power Center and watched a play, a live play, directed by Jimmy Harbaugh. I know he's James Harbaugh to the world, but Jackie and myself, he's Jimmy Harbaugh. The name of the play was Bear. Just a tremendous performance. The talent that we have here at the University of Michigan in theater will blow your mind. We left there, both of us looking at each other thinking, this is incredible. And then Jimmy talking about some of them have already had professional experiences on the big stage in New York City that performed in that particular play. But anyway, the sound, the lighting, the spacing of the performers in the play was just totally outstanding. It was just a magnificent thing. And 60-plus members of that team that put that play together. And as you count them up with the set and the sound and all the different things, the costuming and the set, all those different things, what a tremendous team performance. But what I want to talk about is the message that I gained from the play. And the main character was a fellow named Jason. He's played by Nicholas Kraft, a sophomore here at the University of Michigan, once a career in musical theater and those types of things. But the play, he was in a dilemma in the play. He had this life-changing experience that he was going through that would literally change his life, and got no support. He got no support from his mother. He got no support from the church. He got no support from his friends, and he was just left isolated. And at the end of the play, he committed suicide. And looking back on that, walking away from that, keeping in mind the great performance, jumped into our minds as there's so many youngsters and older people and people that go through those kind of crises, and they reach out. And I think of my own experience back growing up in a little town of Crestline, Ohio, very little relationship with my dad. He went to work every day. Didn't come to a lot of things that we did, but he was always there for us. And you would talk to him about an experience in your life, and he would always come up with this, How are you going to handle that? A bullying type situation? Well, how are you going to handle that? He didn't tell you how to handle it. He let you think it out. And then if you said, well, I'm going to tell the teacher, really? Do you think that's the best thing to do? Maybe you just ought to confront. That's the way he handled it. Maybe you should just confront this guy, not in a fisticuff way, but tell him that you don't appreciate that. And there's going to be, what do you think about that? So he would listen to you, and then he would come back. That's a good one. Go with it. Or suggest this particular way of doing it. And that's the way he handled it. But he was there, and he was always there for you. Coaches along the way, Dwight Perry and Bo Schembechler are the two icons in my life. Never made a decision about a job. Never really made a decision about marrying my wife without going through Dwight. I mean, he was the guy that I would go to. And the way he would handle it was, tell me what you think. Tell me what you think. And then you would tell him what you think, and he'd give you a thumbs up. If I remember the Jackie situation, Dwight, I love her, and I think I should marry her. It was kind of a thumbs up, and there was no more discussion. But I really believe, had it been something that he thought might have been a better way to do it, we would have a little bit more discussion. And he would never tell you what to do, but he'd just keep you talking. Well, have you thought about this? Well, what if you did that and this happened? How would you handle that? And he'd take you through this maze of rights and lefts until it was all over and you had made the decision. And he would say that. Sounds like you've made the decision, and it's the right decision. And then you were on to your life. Bo was the same kind of guy. Again, jobs. We moved 18 times, and at least 7 of those times, there was a phone call to Bo, and this is a situation I'm in, and what should I would do? And he would do it the same kind of – he would do it the same way, but his way would be, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about – this? And then you would think about that, and then you'd talk what you were thinking in conjunction with what he was saying, and then again he would lead you to a place. It would be the same thing. Well, I think you've made a good decision. I'd hang the phone up and think, I made the decision. I'm not so sure that he didn't make the decision, and take me to a place where I thought I made this decision, which made it even more right. And more so. So the two points that I make today is, first of all, if you're in those situations, reach out. There are people out there in your life that care about you. They may be a little bit unaware of how to get you there, but talk and share and listen. And then if someone calls you and they have one of these kinds of decisions in your life, listen and handle in your own way. Don't just blurt out, tell, this is what I think, and if you don't do this, you're da 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 da. Don't go in that direction, but kind of move them to a place where they're making the decision and they're going to be happy. And the way you know if you've done it right is if they call you back again. If they don't call you back and you don't hear from them again, chances are that you didn't handle it in a very good way.
Well, I'll tell you, that is some very sound advice. I've actually put it into work with former interns. They call me and they, you know, ask advice on jobs and whatnot. And yeah, I do the same thing. Basically weighing the pros and cons of each one and then seeing if it points them in the right direction. Then I'm like, I'm not making a decision, but it sounds like you just did. I pay very close attention to Jack Talk.
Well,
very close attention to Jack Talk.
Thank you. And this, again, the play. Go back to the play one more time. Jimmy Harbaugh is a star. And the amazing thing for Jackie and myself, we were outside the theater at the end, and all the actors came out, and Jimmy was there, and the crowd was coming up to him. And several people, you know, commented about the professionalism of the play and that there's a lot of good things out there for him. And he's heading in the right direction. He's a 5-year senior. He'll be graduating here in May and off to his life's work. And looks like he's a star on the rise.
Future first-round draft pick somewhere along the way in the theater drama world out there in the U.S.
Well, I would certainly think that's possible.
Absolutely. You can contact us on Twitter at AED Podcast or by using hashtag Jack Talk. Follow us, favorite us, and subscribe to us on PodcastOne.com and the Podcast One app. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We want to thank Podcast One and our guest, Michigan women's basketball coach Kim Barnes-Jericho. This episode has been brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers. Have a great week, everybody, and keep attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.